naked shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax and enjoy the show.
All right. Here we go. Want to welcome everybody to the show. I'm Iggy Garcia. See, make sure I got here feed on my phone in case I need to answer any questions from anybody. So I want to welcome everybody to the show. I'm your host, and I'm here to excuse me, just clearing my throat there. It's been a little bit since I've been on here. I've just been kind of doing my own thing and just kind of keeping busy and trying to keep everything going in my life. And so I'm going to burn a little sage here. This is actually a combination of sage that I made a few years ago from my garden. Just kind of set the tone, you know. Smells really good. So I'm gonna put this over here. Move that over here. Let it burn a little bit. That's where the show goes on. Then we're gonna light a candle like we do in every show. This is our ancestral candle. We're going to give thanks to our ancestors. Just take a moment to just acknowledge, you know, my parents, your family members, all those who came before us to set the tone and set everything up to get us to this point in life. So thank you, ancestors, for being there. And thank you for holding space for us as we travel this road, this path, this journey. Oh. Let that burn over there on the side. So, guys, how you doing? I hope everybody's doing well. So, we're almost at the halfway point. Actually, it is the halfway point. 6 months I've already gone past of 2022. And it's amazing how fast time goes or how fast time travels, but regardless of what it does, it's moving, right? That's what they say, it's moving. So I'm trying to sit here, get my microphone set up. I think that's better. Okay. So I was thinking about, you know, 2022 and what kind of year it was for myself and for everybody that I know around me. And, you know, it kind of started pretty cool with the drum circles and stuff. And then all of a sudden, boom, we had a lot of stuff happen. A lot of people got sick with COVID. A lot of people got hit hard. I got hit really hard in the beginning of December when my sister, passed away on December 1st. It was just a hard moment in time. It was just difficult. She decided that life was too hard, and she decided that she was going to take her own path and her own way out of this planet and do what she had to do for herself. And so, you know, I don't fault her, and I'm not angry at her for making that decision, because that was her decision. That was something that she felt was good for her and that she needed to do. And, you know, who am I to judge her decision? The biggest thing is, you know, you miss people. And I think when people decide that their life needs to move on to another journey, I think a lot of it's just that we're going to miss the interaction that we had with them and the interactions that we did have with them. she's one of the people who I had memories with, people who I came to this country with, somebody who was in my life at a very early age. So Rosa was, you know, one of those people who was very influential in my life. As much as, you know, she was my kid's sister, you know. She's the person who I grew up with. You know, somebody that you just knew you pretty well, knew you kind of a little bit in and out a little bit. So that was a hard loss for me and for my family. But, you know, believe it or not, I wasn't as sad as I thought I was going to be. I had commented on this before, and I wasn't so sad because I miss her. I wasn't so sad because I knew that she was doing whatever she thought was best for her. Now, her friends, her family, her children, they all miss her dearly. My sisters miss her dearly, and I miss her too. I miss her dearly, but I know she's in a better place, and I know she's doing the things that she wanted to do. And, you know, of course, we're still battling this, you know, this pandemic of sorts in that time. And we were gathered with lots and lots of people because, you know, she knew a lot of people. And I believe that I may have gotten sick between the funeral and December 25th, around that time, and had it. And I fought it and battled it. And then it was kind of gone. I thought it was gone. And then we had a New Year's Eve party. Everything was good, you know. And then a few days later, you know, I was just terrible feeling, you know, just heavy feeling. Like I was carrying bricks, like I was carrying cinder blocks in my body. And that's kind of what it felt like. And I was just like, ooh, what is this? What is this feeling? You know, I couldn't believe the intensity of my body going through whatever it was going through at that time. Because it was it was difficult. And you know, the first time I went to the emergency room, some of you have kind of heard this story, but that was the equivalent of being inside of an ambulance, according to the doctor who runs the emergency room. And then I had to wait for a room, and then I had to go through the process of, you know, getting into the hospital, and all the things happened very fast and very quickly, you know. And you know, there's times I like talking about it, and there's times I don't like talking about it, and I'm kind of a mixed bag today, you know. I know that it might help people, and I've been encouraged to share, but there's sometimes there's this part of you that just is like, well, you know, it was really hard. It was really hard being in that space of uncertainty, not knowing how your body was going to respond, how you were going to respond, how anything was going to change, how anything was going to be in your life, you know. Everything was just like total disarray. I was, you know, I had no clue what was going on with me. I had no clue what direction my life was going to go. I had no clue about anything. I just didn't know how it was going to pan out. I didn't know if I was going to walk out of that hospital. You know, one of the first things they want to do is put me in a ventilator. And I was like, nope, I can't do that. And, you know, I have to also be proactive for my body and for myself. And being proactive for that, I think, is one of the reasons I'm here. Because I didn't want to, you know, you just start creating a whole bunch series of ideas in your mind about what you want to do and how you want to navigate and surf through that. And everybody that I've heard, or there was something that happened, you know, everybody just told me, don't go on the ventilator, don't go on the ventilator, blah, 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 blah. And I believe that. Now, if I was at the state where I had to, then I may have had to go on the ventilator, but I didn't. I told the doctor, and she wanted me to go, and I was like, no. And I'm like, just pump me with oxygen as much as you can pump me, physically pump into me. And that's what they did for a good solid, you know, 8 hours. You know, it was 15 liters of oxygen in my body. So imagine 15 liters, you know, strewn across your table, pumping into your body. How many per minute, I don't know, but that's just a lot of oxygen I was taking in. And then eventually, you know, my body leveled out. My body said, hey, you know what? Okay, we're getting there. So I went down to 8 liters. And then the doctors walk in and they said, hey, you know, how you doing? What's up? Did you take the vaccine? Not the vaccine. The reason why? I gave my reasons for whatever, you know, at that time I was feeling. And so basically what ended up happening was they offered me to take a set of antibodies. And it wasn't the ones that they were giving from the COVID. It was a different type specifically targeted for the lungs because I had COVID pneumonia. So it turned out that I had COVID pneumonia, and I found that out when I was in the emergency room. COVID pneumonia is the equivalent of taking imagine your lungs being 2 liter pop bottles, you know, those 2 liter bottles, and how hard that gets, and you're trying to breathe air in and out of that. That's kind of how it happens when you start to breathe and when you start having the pneumonia. And that's what was like breathing. Now, it wasn't a struggle to breathe. It was just lack of oxygen to the body, which was making me very sleepy, very tired, very disoriented. So the majority of the time I was just disoriented and tired. And so basically I was just exhausted. And the doctor pretty much said, you know what? I'm glad you came in. I'm glad at least you're attempting. They gave me steroids to pump you up, get you a little energy into your body. And then what ended up happening was he told me I would have just fallen asleep. I would just would never woken up. Basically, that's how it would have been for me personally in my condition, the condition that I, how I was in the route and the way I was going. And so that was kind of the story of how I had the COVID pneumonia. And so they asked me if I wanted to take the antibodies, and I'm like, well, I'm here, might as well do it. I mean, what's the point? You know, since you can't really do anything for me, there's nothing you can do. There's no cure for COVID. There's nothing that you can take to help you, according to my doctors who were helping me. You know, half the staff was either vaccinated or not vaccinated and had COVID 4 or 5 times prior to even working with me. So regardless, you know, those people take a lot of risks in the hospital. Those nurses and doctors, regardless of what you may have, your opinions of them or how you feel about them, I had a good team. I had a good team of people who cared about what they were doing. And, you know, one of the things I decided to do is to have the most positive attitude I could possibly have. You know, and be sincere about it. That was something that I definitely wanted to do. That was something that I wanted to come across and share, that I wanted to be able to say, you know, hey, thank you for everything you're doing. Thank you. And I was sincere about it. And I told everybody walking in the room, the person who drew blood, the person who couldn't get blood out of my arms, the janitor, the cleaner, the room, the lunch deliverer. It didn't matter who you were. You walked in the room, I was like, hey, you're important. You're part of the team. And you know what? They really appreciated that. And that went a long way. That went a long way to help me help them and them have interest and care. Because, I mean, it's just a morbid scene being in that floor, you know, the 4th floor of Riverside Hospital, Dublin. You know, just going, hearing and the stories of people who have no visitors. You know, my wife was excellent. She stepped up and she took care of me to the best of her ability. She bathed me, took care of me. You know, I was really grateful for that. So they ended up giving me the IV with the antibodies in it, and it wasn't more than 3 or 4 hours later I started to feel a little bit better, and it was starting to work. And so these antibodies, they last up to 6 months. So I'm kind of at the 6 months, whatever. Sometimes they last a little longer, but so here I am, you know, kind of like 6 months after my event. And, you know, the thing is, I just couldn't, I couldn't move around in the room because my oxygen tube was short. It was like short, maybe about this long. Well, not that long, but, you know, you kind of get the gist. Because I had to wet oxygen, which was, they put a, like a water type solution, with the oxygen so you wouldn't dry out. And so I couldn't move around the room. And then, you know, just every day was just a day, you know, just trying to adjust, trying to feel better, trying to do your best, trying to get your energy back, because I was weak as all can be. Like, that was the biggest thing. I was totally exhausted. I was totally weak. Just totally just not myself. And, you know, I go back and I look at pictures of myself and I'm going, wow, I didn't really do a good job taking care of myself, even though I avoided, you know, contact with people and doing stuff. But I was really thinking about all the things that I was eating and all the things I was doing just from the stress and the pressures. And I'm totally doing the opposite now. I'm not nowhere near fast food. I have not gone to McDonald's. I have not gone to Burger King. I haven't gone to anything that remotely looks like that, or that it can be cooked in a matter of 2-3 minutes. I have not gone to. Now, I've had my pizza and my subs and stuff like that, but McDonald's, Burger King, White Castle, all the stuff that I used to like that caused a lot of inflammation in my body, I can't do it. And the sodas, I cut those down completely. Like, I don't drink pop like I used to, and I didn't drink a lot of pop to begin with, but the thing was, all that stuff was causing inflammation in my body. It was causing me to get, you know, inflamed. You have natural inflammation. You have inflammation just from things you eat, you know, naturally. But that stuff is just toxic. So I miss it. I do miss it. From time to time, you want to grab something. But that was the problem. I wanted to just grab something because I was in a hurry. Drinking a lot of water, eating fruits and vegetables, you know, just trying to change my diet. I'm 20 pounds lighter than I was. So I feel 20 pounds lighter. And so I'm just trying to work through that process and do better. Now, go back to the hospital room. I was just locked in that room, pretty much to my own thoughts and my own vices, and to think about all the things and think about my life. Now, a lot of you know that I'm in the metaphysical. I do holistic work, you know, do shamanic work. I do a little bit of everything, just, you know, a hodgepodge mixture of different things. And one of the things that I found is I couldn't meditate. I couldn't focus. Everything was focused solely on who I was and what I was doing in that room. And that was my journey, to sit in there and question myself, ask myself. You know, I didn't see angels. I didn't have presence of death or presence of God. Nothing. There was nothing like that. There was nothing. I have no magical thing to report to you that was happening to me. Like, oh, this is what's happening. And if it was happening, I didn't know. Let's put it that way. You know, if it was happening to me, I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. All I knew was that with my head, my thoughts, and I had to really think about the direction I wanted to take my life, the direction I wanted to move, and the things that I wanted to see and be part of. And I learned really quickly to appreciate the people in my life, number one. Number two, appreciate myself and all the things that I've done for me and for others, and gave myself thanks, because sometimes we don't give ourselves enough credit for the things we do. You know, I did a show one time about how we should pray for ourselves and also include ourselves in the prayers. And, you know, because what meditation is, it's a type of prayer where you're meditating for yourself, inside, inward, outwardly, all in the same time. So I prayed a lot for me to get clarity. Clarity was important for me. I needed clarity to know why I was where I was, and why I 2 years and I didn't get sick. For 2 years I was fine. There was no problem. And then, of course, there was just a lot of people in the situations that caused me to get sick. But, you know, no blaming anybody. It was no sabotage or nothing like that. It was just my turn. You know, I was either gonna make it or I was gonna break it, you know. And for some reason, I'm here because, you know, the universe, God wants me to be here. That's my belief. That's what I believe. Now, is that true? I don't know, but I believe that. I believe that, you know, Great Spirit has a plan for me, and I have plans too. on top of, you know, the plans that Great Spirit has for me. And so the journey was difficult. Getting back my energy, getting back to normalcy, which I'm going to tell you, today is like the first day today. I woke up today, it was probably the strongest I've ever felt. Like I felt like I used to. And for a good solid 5 months, good solid 4.5 months maybe, I was the brain fog, the body going into this weird shock, like where I just kind of got tired really quick and fast. And it's possible that I probably had, you know, remnants of, long COVID. And then it's possible because I could have had COVID. I tried to stay away from people, a lot of people. And, you know, I took my COVID test and nothing, everything was fine. But sure felt like it sometimes, like it came back for a moment. Not so much in my lung, but just in my body. In the physical therapy I had to do, which my legs were just weak. My arms were weak. Everything was weak. Everything about me was just weak, you know. Everything was just, I wasn't me, you know. It was just terrible. It was the most terrible feeling. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. It was just nuts. But anyhow, you know, I felt so vulnerable. I felt so like I wasn't sure what was going to happen. You know, and I'm really searching for words because I can't explain the feelings that I was going through and the emotions I was going through. And I apologize for the sounds upstairs. I think they're blending something in the blender, so if that's a distraction, my apologies. But the crazy thing was, I didn't know if I was going to come back to be anywhere near the strength I had before. And that worried me. I was really concerned. My emotions were confused. My feelings were a mess. Everything was just a disarray. I didn't want to do any of the work that I do. I didn't want to be social. I didn't want to be, you know, involved. I was just in a weird place. You know, just in a weird place. And that happens, you know, when you're going through stuff like this. And it was just nuts. It was just like, I didn't know the person that I was looking at. I tried to drum. I did drum just to get my strength back. My breathing became stronger, which was good. I'm glad. I'm still working on that a little bit. I do go to bed a lot earlier than I used to. Today I'm up a little bit late. Some days I stayed up later, but I usually go to bed a little sooner than I usually do. But it's because, you know, just your body just goes through a different metamorphosis. You change. But there's so much to share, but, you know, excuse me. Sometimes you're just going, man, I'm just happy, you know, that I'm able to come on the line and share my part of my story with you. Because it was just so, and I go into these little zone outs because it takes you back there. You go back there and you think about all the friends that died along the way, friends who passed away while you were in the hospital. And, you know, now people are getting sick again, and so it concerns me, it makes me nervous. I worry about my friends, I worry about my family. Everybody's just going through this battle. And so it's just, you know, where do we go from here? So 2022, and we're 6 months now into the year, and so much has happened in this time frame. We've had all kinds of crazy stuff. We've had all kinds of situations with, you know, what's weird is this feels like it's been the longest 6 months of my life. for some people, it's very fast and very quick. But for me, it's not. Like, from 21 to 22 just seems like forever. It just feels like forever, ever, ever. You know, it just feels like everything just moving kind of slow. And not so much, not so fast. Not as fast as it feels. It just feels like it's just very mundane sometimes. Like, it's just going through this. I don't know. But there's a lot going on. You know, there's been all kinds of craziness. I mean, there's all kinds of planetary things too, through astrology and stuff, that I won't get into. But I know they all play out. We've had mass shootings. We've had, you know, all kinds of crazy weather. We've had all kinds of just disruption. And I think a lot of people are coming out of this space now, wondering, you know, what am I going to do? What can I do? People don't want to work like they used to. People decide that, you know what? They've given so much of themselves over the years, and now that they don't want to give themselves away. They don't want to give themselves away in the capacity that they used to. And I understand that. I get that. I totally get that. That you've given so much of yourself that you don't want to do that anymore. And you have the right not to. But right now, I think we're in a evolution of sorts where humanity is deciding, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we're getting pressed with gas prices gouging, stock markets crashing, not crashing, but just all-time lows, you know. You know, people's can't pay their mortgages, they can't pay their bills. You know, some people don't even go, the jobs, you know, people haven't gone back to their jobs because they don't want to work and in office anymore. They were comfortable working at home. There's just a whole set of new paradigm shifts that have happened since this lockdown that we've had. People have gone through, you know, intense revival of their spirit and their soul, of what they see and what they need and what they need to feel versus what, you know, the system wants. The system wants you to work. The system wants you to go out there and do your thing, be productive, produce, go to the store, pay your rent, you know, pay. I think people are just done with that. People, you know, not that they're trying to skate out of their obligations or responsibilities. But no, they want to be able to be acknowledged. I know in Europe, I think in some countries, they're testing the 4-day week versus a 7-day week. You know, you work a little longer, 4 days longer, but you're productive, you know, and so then you have a longer, you know, weekend to do things with your family. And, you know, that makes sense to me, you know, and if you want to work 7 days a week, that's fine. But it makes sense to me that the human body can only work so many hours a day before it just starts to become, you know, useless. Because there's a recharging point where your body has to recharge itself and it has to heal itself. You know, we're not designed to work 12, you know, 18, you know, 20 hours a day, you know, in one day. But some people do that. But, you know, when you get to about 8 to 10, you start to get really exhausted. You start to get tired mentally, physically, spiritually. And it's hard to recuperate from that sometimes. So it's really fascinating. It's very interesting how all this is playing out right now, how humanity is looking for things. We got Russia invaded Ukraine.
Excuse me.
And, you know, we have a country that just decided that we're going to go in and we're going to take this natural resources. We're just going to take this country. You know, things that we don't even think would happen in this century, you know, in this modern age, this modern day. We have countries taking over countries, you know. It's insane. It's insane because, you know, there's no diplomacy. You know, there's no talk. There's no, hey, we have issues with you. You have issues with us. Let's talk about it. There's nothing. There's just total, we're just going to go and take your shit. You know, that's kind of what broke down and that's what's kind of happened. And when you're talking about, you know, the crisis in over there in Ukraine and Russia, how's that going to play out? How's it going to all work out? I don't know. The only thing I know is if they can do it, they'll do it again. So are we going to just watch Are we just going to be spectators? You know, we have Syria, we have Iraq, we have all these other countries that have been decimated, you know, by leaders and other, you know, factions and stuff. And then we sit here and we just talk about one situation, one thing, which is very detrimental because it's going to affect the world, yes. But there are other things that affects the world too, but we don't feel it because we don't get it. That's not pumped into our face by the media. You know? And then, you know, so much happening individually with ourselves that we, you know, we don't even know sometimes which direction we're going to turn, how we're going to be. You know, the weather's been crazy. The weather's been fairly cool for a while. You know, we've had a lot of rain. And now in these last few days have been extreme highs, like 98, 99 degrees. And with the heat index, it takes it up to like 107 or something. Today was a good day for me, but it was a hard day to be outside and breathe. Like, I just, it affects my asthma, the pollen, just, it's just crazy how that physically affects somebody. So how do we navigate in a world like this? How do we move in a place like this? First, we have to understand that what's happening. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on in the world. It's just how much we want to hold on to, how much we want to grab onto. And I'm not here to say, hey, you know, this is the way it should be. No, but, you know, for a lot of people, this is a hard time. This is a very difficult time. This is a hard moment to deal with in humanity, because humanity is actually being tested right now. Being tested in every corner of the world. How we're going to move, how we're going to navigate. And so even here in the United States, we're going through a crisis of sorts. You know, there are people who say, well, we're paying $5 a gallon. We should be grateful at least another kind of, you know, that's not the point. It's not the point. And the majority of people say that I know don't drive. That figures, right? But here's the thing. If it costs you $100, if it costs you $30 to fill up your tank, you have that allocated in your budget, right? And you're driving a whole week, you know, without filling, you know, you don't have to fill up. But now gas goes up $3, you know, then you have to like readjust. You fill up again, but you're spending a little bit more now. But, you know, for some people, it's costing them $100 a gallon. To fill their tank is like $100 versus $30 or $50 that it used to be, you know. So that's a big gouge. That's like instant profit for these big corporations, for Chevron and all these big companies. And you know what? They get away with it. They get away with it because nobody says anything. We all bitch and complain from our social media platforms. You know, we say, they're just going, whatever, dude. Just get in your car and drive. Go to the grocery store and shut the hell up. It's basically how it is. What will be the great change? Well, it'll be the great change when white males, you know, when it affects white males. That's what it's going to be. When the white man gets affected, when he feels the pinch, is the only time you're going to feel that. So will he feel the pinch? I don't know. Nothing against white men, but it's usually how that works, you know? And these rich guys know that. They know they can push. I guarantee you, tomorrow you put gas $10 a gallon, people still buy it. Everybody like, oh, well, we're lucky, we're fortunate. At least we're not like Ukraine or, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But no one ever says we're not like Syria, we're not like Iraq, we're not like Pakistan, you know. God forbid we get compared to those people, you know. To those people, you know. Those air quotes there, guys. So in case you hear this show and you don't see my air quote. But, you know, grocery prices are up. Why are they up? Because, you know, the distribution is messed up now. The distribution, you know, the network to deliver goods and services is off. You know, truckers can't afford to pay for diesel. They're paying more in diesel than they are in gas, right? So they have to buy this stuff before they can deliver this stuff. So, you know, it's a big problem. It's a systematic problem. You know, this is what happens when we have all these trades and all these agreements and all these countries that we have to help. But the reason we have to do this is because there's some countries that can't survive without the help of other countries. I get that. So what is the solution? I don't know. I thought I knew, but anytime you bring it up, there's always someone who wants to slam dance you, wants to knock you down a notch because they think they're smarter than you. And yeah, you know what? They probably are smarter than you. But sometimes we vent and we're sharing because we're feeling it. You know, we feel it. Not so much that we're not educated and we don't want to do research. It's, you know what? We're frustrated. You know, we're frustrated. You know, it's like someone said, well, you know, we're going to raise your mortgage, even though you signed an agreement. You know, you're paying $600. Well, we're going to raise it like $300 more because, you know, why we can, you know. Taxes kind of work like that. Property taxes is like that. You improve your house, they raise it, you know. So you went from $2,000 up to $4,000 because you made improvements. And then the neighborhood makes improvements. But one person makes an improvement, screws up everybody, which is kind of unfair personally, but that's what happens. We're living in a democracy, you know. You know, we're a republic here, but which is, you know, something that should be for the people, of the people, but it's not anymore. It's not of ours. It is of theirs, entrusting us to go to work and do the job and do their bidding. You know, when one company owns all the stores, you know, and owns all the products that you buy, is that really a choice? Is it really like, well, I'm going to support this company over this company, but yet they own the same company? There's some videos on my timeline you can watch, you know, and it's like a circus, you know. It's like smoke and mirrors, you know. Look over here and look, we're actually the same company. We're PepsiCo, but, you know, we're also Taco Bell, you know. It's just stupid. You know, sometimes, and I'm not saying go burn the ship down, burn the ship. But we, you know, people tried that. Where'd that get them? Nowhere. Nothing happened. What happened? Nothing. You know, I'm just going to be pretty frank here. I understand that there was, you know, people who didn't agree with the government and the elections and stuff. And then some people protest and try to take over the Capitol there, you know, try to take over the congressional, the hall there. And then yet we have people in their own personal communities tearing down their communities and burning down businesses and burning down, you know, just the whole neighborhood. But this is all because propaganda. This is all because whoever pushes the agenda hardest wins, you know. I'm not saying the insurrection was right thing or good thing. I don't know, because I'm neither here nor there, and I'm just thinking, well, that's the American spirit, right? That's how America was formed. They insurrected, you know, the Tea Party, and, you know, when they want to pay taxes on the tea, people got upset, right? And someone did something about it. And so the insurrection was, what, not the first time that's happened? Actually, they bombed it, I think, one time. Some Latin American militants. I have to look, do my research on that. But anyhow, the point is, you know, so the insurrection happened. No one really knows who incited it. Some will say Trump incited it. Some will say that this person incited it. But regardless, you should ask yourself why people feel this way. No one ever really asks that. No one really goes, so they really just think they're just a bunch of crazy people and that they're racist and that they're upset and they're pissed off. It's kind of like, you know, when minorities burn down their neighborhoods, when they burn down the police stations and stuff. No one really asks them what's the problem. The news just shows them doing it. You know, then you have some kids shoot up a bunch of protesters, but nobody really asks why had that happens. You know, he got acquitted for that. But the point is, no one really asks why someone would burn down their neighborhood. And why everybody says, let's defund this, defund this, defund that. But no one really says anything about, you know, your grocery bill going up or doubling or tripling, or your gas going up, blah, 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 you know. At least I haven't heard very much. I haven't heard very much. I haven't seen very much protest. I haven't seen very much anything of that. People complaining. Maybe everybody's okay with that. You know, I think everybody's more inclined to, you know, push the cart the other direction, you know, and let's mess this guy up. Let's screw this guy up, you know. Let's prove a point, you know. You know, when they talked about Hillary Clinton, you know, she was actually the mastermind behind the Russian probe thing. You know, that kind of just went nowhere. You heard nothing. And I'm trying to be open-minded about all of it, so I don't want you to think that I'm just siding one side, because I'm not. I just like to question everything because it's very interesting how that works and how it happens. But now, you know, I see people posting online that they're upset with the gas prices, but what's it going to take? Whose pocketbook does it really have to hit before anybody goes, oh my God, we can't pay this? And you know how it is. Once something goes up, it doesn't come back down in this country, especially when it goes up, it don't come back down. When gas hit the $2.39 mark, when it used to be a dollar or whatever, 80 something, when it hit the $2 marks and stuff, it didn't come back down. It didn't. Get a little water here, guys. It didn't come down. So if you think gas is going to come down, it'll come down what? They're hovering us at $4.99. Oh geez, look at that. They're baiting us right there. Gas is $4.99. It's not $5 yet, Iggy. For unregulated red, unleaded regular. You know, but if you're buying premium gas, oh, you're paying $5 or more already. You know, and so I'm not even talking about California. I'm not talking. And you know, I think somebody, a couple people posted like a chart with how much people pay gas all over the world. Okay, what's your point? I'm like, what's your point? They're paying that. We don't want to pay this. We shouldn't have to pay this. Especially when we have oil reserves here in this country that we can open up. But we won't, because everybody has an excuse about something. They blame the pipeline got shut down, the Keystone Pipeline, because of the protesters. You know, I was one of those protesters. Because the way it was being handled, the way it was being, you know, used, and the way it was being done, you should question. Now, on the other agenda is, there's other avenues, there are other ways to alleviate the stress and the pain. If you keep your society happy, if you keep the people to some degree in a good place, in a good spirit of mind, you're going to have good citizens. But if you don't, you're going to have people who are going to be very disgruntled and upset. And they're going to be quite disgruntled. They're going to do stuff behind the scenes that you don't want to see. You don't want to hear about. But the government doesn't think like that. They don't think like that. All they think is the top dollar. They're talking the bottom line, you know, staying in the red versus getting in the black, in the red. All the figures. It's all about figures. All about numbers. All about statistics. All about all the things that, you know, how we can make more. What we're not doing is we're not protecting the land, we're not protecting the people, we're not protecting anything. We're not proactive in any direction to help this planet be sustainable for us. Now listen, the planet will be here. The sustainability for us to survive on the planet, that may not exist for us. Because the way we're consuming, the way we're using, the way we're destructive, the way we pollute, we're the biggest polluters in the world. Humanity. We throw anything anywhere and don't give two cents about it. And think that it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't affect anybody. You know, it does. It does affect us. It does go into that place. It does go into that moment. You know, it goes somewhere. When you throw a piece of paper or just throw a can on the freeway, it goes somewhere. Regardless if it gets picked up or not picked up. You know? You go down your freeway and you can see all the trash lined up against the wall. Some of them may have blown in because of the wind. But a majority of stuff is just people chucking things out the window. Just no regard. No care. No heart. You know, no understanding. And that makes me sad. That really makes me sad because you hate to see that. I mean, I grew up in a time, and most of you may have grown up in a time, where we had Hoot the Owl, Smokey the Bear, you know, don't give a hoot, don't pollute, you know, type stuff, you know. We were afraid to throw something out the window because we were conditioned to recycle. We were conditioned to put away, you know. I remember, I remember people throwing things out of the window, out of the bus when I was coaching kids, and like, why are you throwing that banana peel? Like, oh, it's biodegradable, coach. Don't worry about it. I'm like, the mentality is like, well, that's not the point. Yeah, it's going to break down, but the point is you just don't throw it in someone's lawn and just leave it there because it's biodegradable. That's just ignorant talk, you know? You grab it, you pick it up, you recycle, you put in your compost it, or throw it in the trash. What's it going to cost you to pick it up, throw it in the trash? Nothing. I would say to my kids, pick up that. Well, I don't know who touched that. Yeah, they have a valid point. Well, I'm not going to put it up, you know? It's like, it's not my problem. It's like, well, I didn't put it there. I didn't do it. Why do I have to do it? Because if you don't do it, no one will ever do it. And so this is where humanity is at. We try to pass the buck. You know, we try to, you know, figure out, you know, who's going to help us? You know, what's going to be the crux of the situation here? What's going to happen? I mean, Biden's only been in office 1 year, right? God, it feels like it's been four. Honestly, truthfully, just because of all the stuff, the way that things are just moving and progressing, things that have happened just in this last, 6 months, this 1 year, it's insane. It's crazy. You know, it's nuts, man. I'm just like, it just feels like the same politicians are always in office. They're always, and I know I'm venting here, but it always just seems like it's the same group of people all the time. Doesn't matter if it's Republican or Democrat. It just always seems like same people. There's nothing new. Like, there's no excitement. There's no ideas. It's just someone trying to push agendas and ideologies and beliefs and laws and bills and all kinds of stuff. And the same stuff. You know, it's nothing new. We stay poor and they get richer, you know. They should have a limit, you know, how much they can make. I don't know. It just seems like they come out of their office pretty rich, you know. With a lot of money. More than they walked in with. Because it's powerful. It's powerful to be a politician in this country. It's powerful to be president in this country. It's powerful to be in some level of, you know, position in this country. And I think it might be in any country. Being president is the closest thing to being a king, you know, here in this country. It's the closest thing you can be. You know? I don't know. Where do you go in these next 6 months? What happens, you know? What's next? What's our end game? What's our goal to get us into 2023? You know, the thing is just to be able to enjoy the people around you. I mean, we're going to have to be doing a lot more things closer to home, obviously. We're going to have to be, you know, more, you know, cognitively aware of our spending. What we can spend, not spend, you know. There's some businesses that have just failed because of COVID, you know, the pandemic. And some people like to blame, you know, politicians for that. But, you know, who knows? I don't know. I can't sit here and say, well, this is why the reason. I just know my small business is suffering because of the pandemic and because of the gas prices. Because I've had clients tell me I can't go to get a salt session because it costs me too much to drive to Westerville. Because it's not one of those things that's like the first thing in your mind to do. It's not like going to the grocery store. It's like a little perk if I get to go to the salt room, you know. But that's affected my business. And it's affected other people's businesses. But either way, we're at the halfway point of the year. We're halfway, you know, through the year. And, you know, it's been a challenging first 6 months for Iggy Garcia, just in the physical and spiritual aspects of himself. And then with all the things that come on top of that, where do we go from here? Where do we travel to? What are we going to see? What are we going to do next? How do we move into the direction? But things don't change. Remember that. You can still set goals. You can still set ideas. You can still have dreams. You can still do things in order to, you know, create, to firm, you know, and to create that vibrational energy to get to the place you need to be. Those things don't change. You just have to change the ideas and the beliefs, how it works, how you're going to move into that energy. What's it going to take now? You're going to have to really work. You have to really buckle down, because right now it's really it's causing a lot of rift between, you know, decision making on, you know, people are starting to make decisions. Should I buy this or should I lay off of that? You know, people are making decisions where they shouldn't have to make those decisions. If I should eat today or tomorrow or only eat this or eat that much, or I can only travel down the street, you know, because I can't spend the gas that's in my tank because it'll cost me more. These are decisions that Americans should never have to make. Yeah, we make them, but we should be in a place where we should be able to afford. Some things should be affordable. If you want Americans to travel, you want anybody in this country to travel and go shop and buy stuff, then help them, you know? Help them out. Give them a break. And a break ain't cutting it 2 cents, 3 cents, because that doesn't help. You know, you want gas? Knock it down to $3, you know? Put it back down to $2.38, which is still too much anyhow. Considering the fact that these countries, these conglomerates of petroleum countries, these crude oil companies, have made billions, if not trillions, of dollars collectively, you know, on our off the sweat off our back, because they know we need it, they know we have to use it, they know, they get it. We have no end game. We have to use it. So what can you do? What you can do is, you know, write your congressman, write your senators, write to the president, write to the companies themselves, you know, explain to them, you know, what's going on, you know, and everybody will give you the same excuse. Well, it's Russia's fault. Russia's fault. Russia's fault. It's the Russians' fault. They invaded Ukraine. Whatever, man. Those are excuses. Just like you give excuses, that's an excuse too. To say, well, it's their fault. It's their fault. Well, Iggy, if you knew economics, listen, it's an excuse, okay? It's an excuse to manipulate the market, to control, you know, the people. It's happening. But nobody talks about it because everybody's afraid, or most of the time people don't talk about it because they're not educated enough to know what they're talking about. Or they don't want to cause a problem, or they don't want to get badgered and beat up by somebody. I could care less if someone badgers me and beats me up. You know, I don't really, that doesn't bother me so much. What bothers me when people tell me that I should be grateful that I'm paying $5 a gallon. I could be paying more because Japan is paying $10 a gallon or $8 a gallon. Well, that's Japan. Japan has the reasons why they're paying that much. I know in our country, we don't have to pay that. I've been educated enough in this country, in the school system, to know that we don't have to pay what we're paying for anything that we're paying for. There's no reason why Americans should be homeless in this country. There's no reason why people should be starving in a country that's a first world country. The food pantries are completely busy and packed, and they're struggling to have food just because of the supply chain is affected because of all this stuff. So what you're telling me and what I'm trying to figure out here is, if we're already having these little problems like this, and these are problems, so what's going to happen in next spring? What's going to happen next summer? What's going to happen next year around this time? Something to think about, something to chew on, you know, something to go, you know, wow, if it's this bad right now, how's it going to be later? So those are the things that I'm concerned about. You know, as I do my work, it's affected my business, you know, like I said. It's also affected my business in the sense that, you know, my clients can't come to me as often as they used to. Now I have clients that I talk to over on the phone and stuff, and I do virtual, you know, meetings and stuff, but it's just crazy. It's nuts. And so, but where do we go from here? Where do we go from here is we try to do better for ourselves in the best capacity we can and not get too frustrated with it. I'm not saying that we can't be educated and we can't be on top of it, but we can't just let it ride us to the ground like it has. Some of you are really frustrated, and I've spoken to some of you. Some of you are really upset. Some of you, I don't know, you're just like, you're like, bend over and just take it, you know? And I don't know, I'm looking, I don't know why you would want that, but there's some of you just like that I know. And there's some of you who get that, you know, we have situations we need to work on, we need to improve on. But what will that take? But we can't stop living. We can't just stop being human beings and doing things. You know, the 2 years in the solid year lockdown what we had, that took a toll on our youth, took a toll on us, took a toll on everything. You know, and people were really had to come to grips with who they were and who was around them, who was with them. A lot of friendships shifted and changed, and, you know, relationships and dynamics with families changed just because of that factor. But anyhow, that's the 2022 half year point perspective of my end. I'm sure there's other good things that happen. But I think right now is I'm just focusing on the things that we need to adjust and fix and work, because that will affect the things that affect the good things in our lives. We can't just say, well, you know, we got to have it, you know. We also need to acknowledge the shadow aspect of the things, the shadow things that affect the light things in our lives. You know, these things affect everything. Shadow and light, shadow and light. So I hope that you guys were able to understand what I'm trying to get at, where I was trying to go at with my show today. Maybe I went off a little topic, but I just wanted to, I wanted to talk a little bit about what happened to me, where I'm at. I'm feeling better. You know, I've got drum circles online here. You can check it out on my event pages here on Facebook. I got the Henya, you know, the preserve that we're doing there, the Heritage Preserve in Roseville, Ohio. That's on Saturday and Sunday. And then I'll be at Woodland Altars on the 21st. The 20th and 21st. Yeah, 21st, 22nd. I'll be doing drum circle there too as well. I'll be doing a despacho ceremony in both these locations. But that's kind of what we can do. We can only just keep just doing the things we do. And just know that it's going to cost us a little bit more to get where we need to be. And we need to have a better planning and better idea of things. But hopefully people can recover. Hopefully people can get back in a flow, get back into a rhythm with themselves, because right now we're a little bit out of sorts, out of rhythm, out of sorts. And it's really, people are feeling, I can feel it, I can see it, and I can see people struggling and people going through situations which they shouldn't have to. But it's, you know, part of it's, you know, lack of preparation, because we're not prepared, because no one ever prepares us for things like this. No one says, well, you know, we need to stock up, we need to buy. No, in the contrary, it's like, oh, you shouldn't be hoarding toilet paper, you shouldn't be hoarding this. You know, there's people who hoard these things because they had the vision to see this thing happening. They saw what was going to happen. And the ones who don't have it, they don't have it. Because they wanted I want to leave enough for my friend in case he needs a toilet. Here, friend, here's one for you, you know. But in this world, that doesn't work like that. You know, the big corporation doesn't really care how many you buy. Honestly, they don't care. You can buy the whole pallet of it if you want. But what I do know is this. Humans tried to do the right thing, and that's cool, and I appreciate that. But sometimes the right thing isn't always seem like it's a moral thing, you know? Sometimes you might have to buy extra sugar. You may have to buy extra toilet. You may need to buy an extra cans of food because, you know what? We're coming down to a pinch crisis right now where people are really feeling things. But it's really up to you what you want to do. I mean, I'm not here to badger or push or tell people they need to live a certain way, but just be on top of it. Do your research, study. But right now, we're moving in a direction where we can control the outcome if we decide to do something about it. But if we just sit back and watch it deteriorate and don't do anything about it, then the powers that be will always have control of what happens to it and what happens to us. So regardless of what you think you have control over, we really don't have control over anything, because they control everything that we do. They control everything we buy. They control everything that we use. Cars, petroleum, food, they're in control of everything. You have to buy it regardless. It doesn't matter who you buy it from, where you buy it from. They're the ones that control the whole system. And you're part of the system. You're in here. So I hate to depress you. I hate to put you to bed on that note. But you know what? The thing is, individuality, you can't control individuality. You can't control someone's spirit and soul. And that's something that they can never quite grasp. And they think they can, but they don't. But anyhow, guys, I want to say thank you very much for tuning in, being here with me. I hope things get better for all of us. And so I wish you a good evening and a good night. Ho'oponopono matakwi asan irisikwi. It's good to be here, and I will see you next time on Iggy Garcia Live. Watch me on my short podcast, The Mind of Iggy. I'll talk to you soon. Be well.